السلام علیکم و رحمت الله و برکاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله و نحمده و نستعینه و نستغفره و نؤمن به و نتوکل علیه و نعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا و من سیئات اعمالنا. من یهد الله فلا مضل له و من یضلل فلا هادی له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Truly praises for Allah, and we praise Him, and we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness, and we put our trust in Him, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and from our wrong actions. And whoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whomsoever He leads astray, there is no one to guide him. We bear witness that there is no deity but Allah, one without a partner, and we bear witness that Muhammad is His worshipper and messenger. Blessings of Allah and peace and blessings upon him and his family and his companions. قَالُوا لَلَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي كِتَابِ الْمُبِينِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تَقُولُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ الْحَقُّ تُقَاتِهِ وَتَأْمُتُنَا وَإِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ يا أيها الناس تقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء وتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. Allah praise be to Him Most High said in His clear book, O you who have attained to faith, fear Allah as He should be feared, and do not die save that you are as Muslims. And O people, fear your Lord that created you from oneself, from it and made, and from the twain spread out a multitude of men and women. Fear Allah in your claim over one another and toward the wombs from which you have come. Truly Allah is the watcher over all of you. Alhamdulillah, ja'ala yawman jumati sayyidina ayami wala na'budu wa nasta'inuhu ila iha wa huwa ladhi faradara salata jumati bi khalilu ta'Allah. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فصلوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا باي. Praise be to Allah who made the day of congregation to be the best of days. We do not worship and we do not ask aid other than from He who made this congregation worship obligatory for us, as witnessed in the saying of the Most High, O you who have attained to faith, if you hear the call for a salah on the day of congregation, make haste to the remembrance of Allah and leave your trading. The sincere believers, al-mu'minun al-mukhlisin hum al-ladina amanu wa ta'amanu wa qulubukum bi dhikri Allah ala wa dhikri ta'amanu ala qulub, are those who have believed whose hearts pressed in the remembrance of Allah, for truly in the remembrance of Allah the hearts find their rest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to us in the Holy Quran and Surah Al-Nahl. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Surely Allah enjoins justice and kindness and generosity to those near to you, and who forbids all that is shameful and that which is wrong and lewd acts, and he admonishes you in order that you remember the truth. وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ إِذَا عَاهَدتُّمْ وَلَا تَنْقُضُوا الْأَيْمَانَ بَعْدَ تَوْكِيدِهَا وَقَدْ جَعَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَفِيلًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Which we have read, you know, fulfill the covenant of Allah when you have taken it, and do not break your oaths, for you have confirmed them when you have made Allah the guarantor of all And again, what Allah says, you know, in the Quran that I just read to you, that He has commanded you to be just and impeccable, and to tread the right path, and the right remembrance of Allah is the greatest of all actions, and He is the superior, the glorious, the honored, the faultless, and the magnificent. Again, in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, well, we'll get to that. The simplicity and the greatness of the truth that is revealed in the Quran is sometimes overwhelming by its simplicity. And of course, the result of that is that we, you know, we live with this assumption that we sort of understand everything, and that, you know, we don't have to think about them. These great truths in such short words, brief surahs, give us a lot to think about if we do choose to think. For example, in Surah Al-Fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something that He reveals to the Prophet in the context of what we have been speaking about very often recently. He says, Ya'yuwa nafsu mutamina, irji ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyan, fa the kulfi fi ibadi wa za kulli janati. O you soul whose self is at peace, return to your Lord well-pleased and well-pleasing, so enter the ranks of my worshippers and enter my garden. A formula. And again, you know, there's another reference we said, then a soul in Him who perfected it. These brief statements have such profound meaning, and we know that the function of the deen, of any religion, in fact, in general, the deen of Islam most specifically, is to give or to bestow order on this life, which we call human life, and to establish an outward harmony upon which the basis and the foundation of each of us can return again and again inwardly and have an opportunity to return ultimately to our origin. And this journey toward the interior direction that we speak of quite often, the Sair al-Suluk, is most important to those of us who are in the path of tariqah. This universal function is especially true in Islam, because Islam is not just the last religion of humanity, as I explained the other day why that is when I spoke to you about the role of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it's a revealed truth, clearly revealed, which is a divine injunction to establish a certain order in human society, an order within our own selves, an order within our own world, our souls. And at the same time, to make possible not only an orderly outer life, but an orderly interior life, to prepare us inwardly to return to our Lord and enter into this paradise, which is none other than the divine grace of the divine beatitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is, as we know, the first and the last. We know that He is the al-zahir and the batin, the outward and the inward. And by this interplay of His outwardness, by this interplay of His outwardness, He creates an interplay of separation or otherness and differences and diversity, which we need to come to understand, to work with, to live with, and to apply the compassion and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. You may know, of course you do know, that as you proceed in the ayat that I had quoted to you, the next ayat that I did not quote to you speaks of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَوْمَ نَبَعَثُ فِي كُلِ أُمَّةٍ شَهِدًا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَجِنَّ بِكَ شَهِدًا عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ He said, and from that day we shall raise up from every community of believers a witness against them for themselves. And he talks to us about the necessity of community in many ways. He says in other places, you know, had I wanted to, I would have made you one community. But I made you different. I'm going to raise up among you in your community those who bear witness against you. Meaning in the sense that will be the ones who present to you the truth. In the case of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon which you have a measurement. It's not to be an accuser, but a measurer. And he brings us back, therefore, to our origin and to understand the context in which he has created us. Because the deen in general, Islam specifically, means this journey, this suluk, is made possible for a human being. To move from the place of where we are born to the place where we originated. And in a sense, it recreates the structure of creation itself, which issues from Allah and returns to Allah. How we should live our lives as a model in this creation, which we're always striving for. And we shouldn't bemoan the fact that we're striving for that. We shouldn't complain. We shouldn't complain at our faults. We shouldn't complain when we have failures, setbacks. Because this is part of the journey. If you love climbing mountains, you don't complain about the rocks under your feet. If you love to sit in meditation, you don't complain about the silence or the loneliness that you feel. It's part of the reality of the attraction. And so there's a dimension of our spiritual life which is called the outward, and a dimension which is called the inward, the zahir and the batin. And these dimensions in Islam have other names too. There are the Sharia and the Tariqa and the Hakika. The truth that emerges from the balance between these two states or these two places. From another point of view, we can correspond with the same meanings I was speaking about the other night. We can talk about Islam, Iman, and Ihsan as we spoke the other night. Islam in general is called surrender, but we know it also to mean safety and security and knowledge and faith. And from the Sufic point of view, Ihsan is to act as if we're seeing Allah everywhere, and if we're not, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing us. And that is, therefore, to act with some understanding of the benefit of acting virtuously and perfectly, or near, or as perfectly as we can, before the one who has created us. Just like we show deference to a great person. And although the whole of the Quranic revelation is called Islam from the perspective of what we speak about, not only those who follow the tradition of Islam can be mu'minin. Because those who possess faith, Allah tells us, have iman. Those are the people who are defined as Muslims, not by their birthright or their nation or the language they speak. Nor do all those who are mu'min possess the degree of ihsan, which is a high degree of virtue and a sense of perfection and a sense of the beauty, the sense of the divine presence. So this means, though, through which we are able to penetrate to the inner meaning of the deen, that we have to look more deeply at things, as I spoke last night in detail about seeing and hearing. So this revelation of Islam is meant for everyone. Everyone who are destined to follow this tradition of seeking the truth, of knowledge. Not all people are destined to find the inner path. It's certainly enough for a person to have lived according to the Sharia, to surrender in Islam, to do good works, to try to live by the will of Allah, to die in the grace and enter into the Jannah. There's no question about that. But there are those among us who yearn for something more, not more than that ending, but yearn to understand more, yearn for that sense of divine presence in the here and now, who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whose tendency or propensity for muraqabah, for tafakkur, for study, for insight, compel us to seek a path of inwardness. To remove ourselves from the world, but to seek, not to remove ourselves from the world, but to be in the world and not of the world, to seek the inner essence of things, that we accomplish everything that is manifest by the Creator, to try to understand it in a deeper way. And the revelation of Quran also provides this path for people such as those, for us, men and women, who strive to perfect our iman, who live with ihsan, who try to return to our Lord with happiness and gladness while we're still walking on this earth. Of course, this is controversial to some people, but no real Muslim has ever avoided controversy that I know. We see it even in the politics of Islam today, which we won't get into. But the concrete embodiment of the manifestation in the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the Sharia, and which is the exoteric dimension in the sense of governing our outward lives and our choices, which leads beyond the usual understanding of life into a spirituality, into a path that is beyond just a physical understanding of day-to-day life. It can be separated in many different ways, whether a person is Sunni or Shia or Sufi or has slightly different take on the inner life. Really, we're looking at the same thing. Allah has created only one reality, not many realities. And through tasawwuf, we see it as a dimension in Islam, as a way, in another way perhaps our other brothers and sisters in the world look at inner ways and outer ways in different ways, but we're still looking at the same reality, the same expression of divine truth. And there's this intermediate region between us, which is the outer and what is the inner of the world of our practices and the applications and the guidance and the doctrines of Islam in our daily lives, like when we reflect upon the inner teachings of the Shuyukh, or people like Ibn Arabi, or Ahmad Farkasendi, or Jalaluddin Rumi, or Imam al-Ghazali. They're always pointing us to the Sharia in another way. It's their experience. We're looking at the experience of those who came before us. And they reflect an inner understanding and how those teachings affect not only us, but the whole community. In fact, many of our prayer manuals, which occupy an important portion in our lives and in the world of Islam, were written by Sufi masters. Many of them were written by those who had a deep, profound insight into the inner realms of things of life, irfan. Many of the things that uplift our souls are the dua of great souls like Imam Zain al-Abidin or Imam Jafar al-Sadiq. These were people who had the zaq, the taste of the inner and the outer. And occasionally one domain enters into the other domain, and you find this in the sayings of the founders of different madhab, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Hanbali, Imam Hanif. You find this taste is slightly different. So, we're Americans. We like different tastes. We like Moroccan food one day. We like Indonesian food one day. We like Italian food another day. Chinese food another day. Japanese food another day. American food another day, you know. We're these globalized people called Americans. Of course, all that different food makes you sick. Better to eat one food on a regular basis than to eat all these different foods all the time. But it's a matter of taste. But we still are appreciating the food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for us. Somebody makes rice one way, somebody makes it another way. Somebody does couscous instead of rice. But everybody puts a chicken on the top of it. Or fish in it. Or at least some onions. And vegetables. And so we read these writings, we do the prayers, we make recitations, and something happens to us. When we're speaking of irfan or tasawwuf, one is really speaking of qalb, as I spoke last night on qalb, heart. There is the turning of the heart. Sometimes there's the churning of the heart. And the milk is into being butter. And you churn it. Because why? Because the butter, the essence, penetrates all of the milk, and you have to separate those molecules. So you turn it. And the light and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the truth permeates our heart. We have to turn our heart sometimes to get it out. Let go of our fears and our worries and our doubts. Be the best person we can be. Don't expect the other person to be the best person they can be. Pray for them. But we be the best person we can be. Tolerant, patient. Allah has put us where He's put us to learn something great, not something terrible. Not to close down and hold back. Sometimes we're afraid to open ourselves up because we're afraid we open ourselves up, we don't know what we're going to be filled up with. We're going to feel, or we'll be, if we open up, everything inside us will empty us. We'll be empty. It's all right. It's all right. And who are the people who turn the hearts? The people who are the greatest believers, the awliya, the anbiya. Khwaja Abdul Ansari, the saint of Herat, in his supplications, gave an example of the yearning of the heart for the ineffable, for the infinite and the divine, in a very common devotional prayer that is recited by many, many, many believers around the world. He says, I translate it into English, he says, I live only to do Thy will. My lips move only in praise of Thee, O Lord. Whoever becomes aware of Thee casts out all other than You. O Lord, give me a heart that I may pour it out in thanksgiving. Give me a life that I may spend it in working for the salvation of this world. O Lord, give me understanding that I stray not from the path. Give me light to avoid pitfalls. O Lord, Ya Rab, give me eyes with which see nothing but Thy glory. Give me a mind that still finds delight in Thy service. Give me a soul drunk in the wine of Thy wisdom. Here's a prayer to Allah, inward, speaks about how to live in the outer. The outward is necessary as the basis, as the point of departure for the Sir al-Suluk. And as the experience of the Divine is imminent, because He's present in the beauty of nature, in the bare beauty of everyday life, in the love in our hearts, in our passions, in the essence, at the core of all of our desires even. Our understanding is dependent on our awareness of this divine presence as being transcendent. And no one has the right to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is with us in presence, as we call the divine presence, without surrendering some portion of themselves to that which transcends, which they're able to comprehend, just as the Nabi Muhammad السلام, had to surrender his mount to come near to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without accepting to some level the Sharia, because this is the means through which we come to understanding and to travel on this path of Tariqah. And by accepting this and traveling on the path of Tariqah, we can finally reach a deeper understanding of an inner truth, Hakika, which lies literally at the heart of things, and which is beyond anything that is limited. The things of this world disturb us. They cause us pain. Misery. We see what's happening in the world. We see what's happening in Iran. What's happening in Iraq. What's happening in other places in the world. What's happening in this country. What's happening in Afghanistan. And I don't mean just to say where there are Muslims. We see what's happening in China. We see what's happening in Africa. In Darfur. And they pain us. So we have to turn inward and interiorize our lives and become aware of the dimension of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has provided us with, the dimensions that He has provided us. So we have recourse to certain prayers, we have recourse to rites, we have recourse to rituals, the very nature of which is to cast light upon things, to help us to see, to be at more peace, to seek understanding, create an inner foundation for an inner realization, revelation, that we can have that revelation and apply it to day-to-day life. And we have the Salat, and we have a Ramadan coming, and we have the Hajj, and we have the Zakat, and the Jihad, in our own soul, the Jihad al-Akbar, all our means of interiorizing our outer lives enable us to live and to serve and to die as individuals who are destined for something greater, Allah calls the great reward. But these rites and these rituals themselves are not limited to their outer forms, as some Muslims believe. They are, like here on Jummah, we are to speak of Islam on Friday, mostly in the way we should practice and live it. And when we gather together, all of us who have sought the inner way of life and understanding of Islam, it's important to again affirm that there is a deep inward dimension and meaning which we can reach to and we can function at and we can, that expands our iman, deepens our Islam, and awakens our Islam. Yes, as many khutbah people speak about the pillars of Islam, the five pillars of Islam and Salat and the importance of namaz and the fundamental rites and wudu and all the other things, this is fine. But we stand here because we demand something more. We demand something more than Allah reveals to us. I shouldn't say demand, we seek. And the form of these prayers is derived directly from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they are ordered and considered to be the most important of religious life. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first of his deeds for which a man will be taken account on the day of reckoning will be his prayer. And if it is sound, he will be saved and successful. But if it is unsound, he will be unfortunate and miserable. But then he goes on. And he says something very interesting. He says, if any deficiency is found in his obligatory prayer, the Lord, who is blessed and exalted, will issue instructions to consider whether his servant has said any voluntary prayers, so that what is lacking in the obligatory prayer may be made up by the voluntary prayer. Then the rest of his actions will be treated in the same fashion. Alhamdulillah. Allah always gives us a way in. Some might say a way out, but I say a way in. So this salat, which we do every day, is a very profound aspect of the interiorization of the external life. And the average Muslim sees the prayers as a rite and ritual to be done, and done sincerely, alhamdulillah, and the rewards are there. Clearly, Allah says to the Prophet, the rewards are there. But those of us who try to stay on the Sayyidah Suluk, we have to find also other things. We want to know more. Tell me more. Maybe this is the spiritual analog to the materialistic Western society. Western society's materialism says, I want more and more and more and more. And the person who seeks tasawwuf says, I want more and more and more and more, more. And so this salat, which punctuates our daily lives and determines the rhythm of our lives and provides a refuge in the storm of life and protects us from sin, has profound inner meaning. Just as its performance is obligatory, its imprint on society as a whole and on an individual is profound. And the way we are seen and the way we predominantly understand or identify our collectiveness, our community, our fundamental basis, is that there is so much to be learned from it. And so by virtue of the degree of our ihsan, the barakah contained within the forms of the prayers, we're able to attain some state of inwardness and stay at that state. Samaqan. We're able to return thanks to those to these words that we repent, and thanks to the movements that we make, and all of the inner echoes with some state of the Holy Prophet that the Holy Prophet revealed to us, a state of perfect servitude, a state of nearness to the divine, both which characterize an inner journey. The interior life of a Muslim or a Mu'min is based upon the power of prayer, the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the grace, khashiyya, of the issues from the language that we pray in, that leads us from the world of outwardness to the world of inwardness, from the world of separation to the world of unity. And you can look at every pillar of Islam exactly the same way, just as I looked at Salat. And so, as Ramadan comes upon us, We want to remember the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We want to remember the teachings of those who came before us. We want to remember the words of those who cried out in love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet. The Egyptian Sufi Zunnun said, "O Allah, I never hearken to the voices of the beasts or the rustle of the trees, the splashing of waters, the songs of the birds, the whistling of the wind, or the rumbling thunder, but I sense in them a testimony to unity and the proof of the incomparableness that thou art the all-prevailing, the all-knowing, the all-wise, the all-just, and the all-true. And in you is neither overthrown, nor ignorance, nor failing, nor injustice, nor lying. O Allah, I acknowledge you in the proof of your handiwork and in the evidence of your acts. Grant me, O Allah, to seek thy satisfaction with the satisfaction and the light of a father and his child, remembering you in my love for you with a serene tranquility and a firm resolve." These kinds of prayers we wish to spring from our own lips and from our own hearts. So I hope, inshallah, the sense of our purpose is vivified again on this Juma, as we dive a little more into the understanding of Irfan, to find the strength and the permission, if you will, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the Quran, from the Shayukh, to travel in this journey with utmost confidence, and to know that it all lies in our ability to struggle and to live according to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, it's important that we succeed, but it's more important that we make the effort. More important that we strive. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears our inner call, permits us to continue on the Sayyidah Saluk, to imbue our lives with deeper appreciation for everything, everyday rites and rituals, a lifetime of commitment and opportunities He's given to us in this Jihad al-Akbar, to embrace our challenges and our difficulties, and to be in the company of good people without whom we cannot make this journey. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma ansurna fi naqa khayru nasirin. Waqtah fi la'alana fi naqa khayru fatihin. Waqfilana fi naqa khayru ghafirin. Warhamna fi naqa khayru rahimin. وارزقنا في نخ خير الرازقين واهدنا نجنا من الرقام الظالمين وهب لنا ريحا طيبة كما هي في العلم كما انشرنا علينا من خزائنه رحمتك واحملنا بها حمل الكرامات والسلامات والعافية في الدنيا والدنيا والآخرة إنك كل شيء قدير. اللهم يسر لنا أمرنا مهرات لقلوبنا بأبادنا والسلامات والعافية في الدنيا وديننا ونسألك إيمانا دائما ونسألك قلبا كاشيا ونسألك علما نافيا ونسألك ديما قائما ونسألك عافية من كل بلايا ونسألك تامنا العافية ونسألك دعوة عافية ونسألك شكرا على العافية إنك على كل شيء قدير. O Allah, you are the best to aid us and open us and succor us and best at opening and forgive us, for you are the best of forgiving. And you are the most merciful and you are the greatest of our providers. And you are the one who holds the hand back of the oppressors over us. So grant us a fair wind in accord with your knowledge, in accord with wafted upon us from the treasure of your rahmah, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps pour us on the conveyance of your generosity and peace. O Allah, make order for us, easy for us, and serenity in our hearts and our bodies. And we beseech you for faith that is everlasting, and for a submissive heart, and for knowledge that is beneficial, and for certainty and that is genuine, and for a religion that is straight, and for well-being free from affliction. And we beseech you for complete well-being, and for continual well-being, and beseech you for thankfulness. O Allah, Allahumma wasfir ujana bismi sifatik wal adik wa bashirna yawmi kiyamati baina aliyaka wa jala ajadika mabsutanan alayna wa ahlana wa man anna bi rahmatika wa kunlana sahibana wa safarana wa kalifatin fi ahlana wa atmiz ala wujihi wa aydana wa saqahum malakatihim wa yalla falla yastawna mudiya wala maji alayna wa nim ala mujib ويا من موجه اني ما لم اجيب يا اني ما لم اجيب Oh Allah, make our faces shine with your light on the your attributes, and make us laugh and rejoice in the resurrection day among your friends, and make your hand be spread upon us, our families, our children, and those who are with us by your mercy. Be our companion in our travels, and guardian in our family, and face the faces of our enemies. Freeze them in their places so that they may be unable to go or come against us. O most gracious of responders. O most gracious of responders. O most gracious of responders. O Allah, we ask you for healing for those who are sick, and for blessing for those who have passed this week. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those who are in need, to have their needs fulfilled, and for there to be peace in this world and justice in this world. O Allah, we ask you, Allah, to forgive us for our errors and our sins, and to remind us of your presence through our own repentance and through our support of others, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let us make 10 times the demands of ourselves that we make on others. Amen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi wa na'maru wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa nashhadu an la ilaha illahu wa hadu la sharika la wa nashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu rasuluh sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ahli ala jami' al-anbiya wal mursalin wa malakati wa muqarabin wa ali Allah salihin wa mujahideen fayadeen bi rahmatika ar-Rahman ar-Rahimin qawlullahu subhanahu wa ta'ala fi kitab al-mubin فإن لله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد اللهم ورد وسياتنا وكل أخي الراشدين أبي بخلين الصديق وعمر وفاق فرقي وعثمان وابن ريان وعلى سيدنا الإمام علي كرم الله وجهه ورد اللهم سيدنا الحسن وسيدنا الحسين وأن أم همة سيدتي فاطمة وزهرة وآل بيت الكرام وأجواج نبيه الطاهرات ومهات المؤمنين وصحابات والصالحين والتابعين وتابعيهم وبلي المخلصين لإسلامين وإيمانين وإلكسانين ويوم الدين عباد الله إن الله يمر بأدي والإكساني وإتعال القرب وينهى الأنفاشة والمخري والبحي يهدكم للاكم تذكرون ولا ذكر الله أكبر وأكمل السلام.